This year we are all going for the basic halachas. This year that's no chumras. Going for the basics. None of the chumras of Yisrael Kedoshim, of cleaning the way, you know, it's much more back to the basics. Somebody showed me a fascinating balaturim. For those of us who want to be inspired, a most fascinating balaturim, a friend of mine in Eretz Yisrael. He sent me this balaturim over here in the beginning of Parshas Boy. Gentlemen, this is fascinating. Put on your seatbelts for this amazing balaturim in Parshas Shmos. It says over here by the Pesach Mitzrayim. What? Yes, in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Boy, Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. The Balaturim says as follows. It's our talking about Pesach Mitzrayim, how the Yidden are taken out of Mitzrayim. And it says there, by the night before the Yidden were redeemed, it says that the Yidden were eating Yoichlu, Dalet Ba'omi, the Pasuk is Pasuk Ches, Va'ochlu is Abosso, Balailo Azeh, the Yidden were eating the meat on that night. Tzli Eish, roasted, the matzois al meroirim yoichlu, and the Yidden were eating the matzos with the moroir, and of course the Korban Pesach, but let's leave this out. The Balaturim on the spot says, gentlemen, this is what my friend from Eretz Yisrael points out to me. Yoichlu, dalet pomim mesoire. And then it says, Vidach Aaron uvon of yoichlu, ben yonim de miluim. Right, and then it says, Ma hosom, Nitztavu, just like over there, they were commanded, Mi Pesach, Oyel, Moyet, Loisei, Tseyu, just like elsewhere we find that Moshe was not to go out of the Oyel Moyet, Hachanami, also over here, when it comes to Pesach Mitzrayim, Vatem, Loisei, Tzu, Ish, Mi Pesach, Beisoy, similarly also when it comes to Pesach Mitzrayim, Yidden were not to leave their houses. That's what Pasuk Chof Beis says. Yidden were not meant to leave their houses when it came to Pesach Mitzrayim. Furthermore, continues the Balaturim, Ve'idach, Kima'asov Yoichlu, De'iskish Go'ulo Achroino Le'gulo Rishoino. And so too we will find by the Gulo Asido, by the final redemption in Yitzhak Hashem, there will be the same concept that Ish Loiseitzu Mipesach Beisoy, the Yidden are not meant to leave their houses. Just like by the Geula of Mitzrayim, there was a commandment, an instruction, that Yidden were not meant to leave the houses until the time was right. And at that moment, at that point, the Yidden suddenly were asked, let go, you can leave your houses now, you can leave, and not only you leave from your house, but in fact, this is the redemption now, this is the Geula, you're leaving Mitzrayim, you are free now. So it was from one extreme to the other, from the absolute isolation in their houses, from one minute to the next, they were redeemed completely. So says the Balaturim, the final redemption will be from one extreme to the other, from one moment being completely isolated. Unbelievable, it's mind-boggling. From one second, don't leave your house. It's completely locked up. And then one second later, there is the absolute redemption. So perhaps, who knows, we should hope and daven that we shall be zoche still to eat this year from the Zvochim and Apsochim. Oh, Veggie. What do you think about the Balaturim, Benji? What do you tell about the Balaturim?
I think it's a beautiful Balaturim. I think people should remember that the Eibushter will bring Mashiach when he wants to.
Absolutely. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. And we are hoping that perhaps, who knows, perhaps, who knows, this year, you never know, maybe it's a skula, maybe it's a, It's a time which is in the Sugal, as the Gemara says, but Nissen, we were redeemed in the Nissen of Sidim Leigoyal. Yes. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, we've gonna learn tonight some very interesting concepts. Here again, some are well known and some are perhaps, it was great for me also to remember those halachas and to see them again, because there is definitely some misconceptions here too. So we have to Siman Tov Pei Aleph, page 178, and we have moved on from the Kosh, the Shvoi Chamoscha, from Kosh of Eliyahu Hanavi. By the way, talking about Kosh Eliyahu, this is general minhag that the Kosh Eliyahu should be a bit bigger than other Koshes. That's a minhag which is brought down, I believe, Noach HaShulchan. So, as this is a visual shiur more than other times, I have decided to show this is my great-grandfather's becha. It's got the Chazon Ish shiur as well in it. And this is what we use for Kosh Eliyahu every year. We don't use it any other day, but we do use it for Kosh Eliyahu. And I think that others, I wasn't Yerushit, but my other ancestors had very, very huge, huge, oversized sizes, bechas for Kosh Eliyahu, and I think that's a minhag to have a particularly large kosh. I don't know where that comes from, that it should be particularly big, but I think there's a minhag that one uses an extra large kosh for the Kosh Eliyahu. Right, okay, so, by the way, what it says over here, I'll read it as well. Le miskeres ava, as a sign of love, le rabbeinu agon, reb Shmuel Oysterlitz, for the Hagon of Shmuel Oysterlitz, Mibnei Yeshiva, the Mishkaltz, from the Yeshiva Bochim in Mishkaltz, which was the place where he was Rav, the capital of Oberland, Purim, Tov Reish Pei Beis, which is 1922. So, this is what we use for Kosh Eliyahu. Right, okay. Right, Siman Tov Pei Aleph, Shlalish Tois Ach Ava Kois Tois, one may not drink after the fourth cup. So we've spoken about the halachas between the first and the second cup, we've spoken about between the second and the third, we've spoken about the third and the fourth, yesterday between the third and the fourth, and tonight we're going to speak, what's the halacha about drinking after the fourth cup. So we drank the fourth cup, we said Broch HaChoina on the fourth cup, which included also the third, and now we're going to see what are you allowed to actually drink after the fourth cup. About eating, we spoke about that you may not eat after the afikoyman, because ein mafti in acha afikoyman, we don't eat anything after afikoyman. The taste of the afikoyman has to be the last taste that we eat. We can't eat anything after that. Question is, what about drinking? And tonight we're going to be learning about drinking after the fourth cup. Shlalish Tois Acha Avakoyses, page 178. Acha Avakoyses, after the four cups, ein reshalish tois, you may not drink Yayin, wine, elamoyim, only water. You may not drink wine, but you may drink water. Continues the Ramah, and answers the obvious question that we're all about to ask. V'kola mashkin, and what about other drinks? What about any other beverages which are not wine and not water? Kola mashkin, dino, kayayin, all the other drinks are in the category of wine. However, at the same time, the Ramah explains further, Umishu Istanis, somebody who is a, what's the right translation of Istanis? A person who is a bit more fussy, there must be a better translation. Istanis? Yeah. Delicate and is fussy. So somebody with istanis, or alternatively, he's generally quite a normal kind of person, but tonight he's particularly thirsty. All that matzah and that moroi, that made him exceptionally thirsty, and now having completed the fourth cup, he's thirsty. So either he's an istanis, generally speaking, or he's very thirsty just tonight. He can do the following. He can drink a fifth cup. which means of wine. And he should recite Halal HaGodl that. So the Halal HaGodl, as we said a couple of nights ago, that's a 26 times you say Hodul Hashem Kitoiv. That's the Halal HaGodl. The Hodul Hashem Kitoiv. Now, so at that particular point, before Nishmas, you could say a fifth. You could drink a fifth cup. You say Perpe Agofen, you have a fifth cup at that stage. This is not the minhag. And most of us will be very reluctant to have a fifth cup with a brocha. But the Ramon does offer that suggestion. And he says, if you're really, really thirsty, and you just need to have another cup of wine, so what you can do is potentially going to have a fifth cup, which is the Kois Chamishi, and you say the Halal HaGodl on that. Now, right. So the Mishnah now explains very importantly what's the background of the Issa. Why is it that after the fourth cup we may not drink generally any other drinks? What's the background? And it gives a few reasons, and all the reasons will make a difference in Nafkaminas La'alocha. Sif Kotan Aleph in the Mishnah Ein Rishai. Har Betamim Yesh Bezeba Poiskim is at least three reasons why we do not drink after the fourth cup. What is it? Yes, of course, for some, right? Because there's a mitzvah to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Uvini Floisov, and the wonders, the miracles, Shalakadosh Baruch, which Hashem has brought, Hafilo Kalalailo, the entire night, Kolzman Shaloi Chatfos Sheino. As long as he's not falling asleep, that's the next thief, we'll speak about that. As long as a person is awake, he's got a mitzvah to proclaim and announce and elaborate on the nisim that Kodesh Baruch Hu has brought on us. And therefore don't drink. Because if you're going to drink more wine, you're going to get drunk. And you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah properly. You're either going to be tired, intoxicated, or you're going to be shika, and you won't be able to tell the nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reason number one, and according to this reason, obviously, this is only specifically with regards to wine, or any other alcoholic beverage. So that's number one, is because we don't want to be drunk. After the fourth cup, don't drink wine, because you're going to get drunk, and you're going to lose concentration and focus on the mitzvahs alaylo. This will only forbid wine, but anything which is not alcohol will be fine. V'yeshe kos, the second reason. The lo yenir kemotziv al hakos, we don't want it to look as if you're adding to the fourth cups. You can't just have more drinks because it will appear that you have more than four cups. Shenir kemaschel besudaches, after the four cups. Now, you're still drinking another cup. Come on, you're adding to the mitzvah, and that's wrong. But the fees there, according to that, kol chama medina also. Any other chama medina will also be included in the Issa, although she'en meshak, although it's an alcoholic. So according to that reason, we're learning that chama medina is also included, which would basically mean that if after the seder you want to have we spoke about that, after the third cup, so if now, after the fourth cup, you want to have, let's say, a cup of Coke, a freezing cold, ice cold glass of Coke, that will be, according to the second reason, that will be also, because it's considered Chama Medina. And Chama Medina is, in a way, would appear as if you're adding to the four courses. Therefore, it's also. V'yeshe kosvu, and another third reason, mishum shalei ispatal ta'a matzah mepiv al adish yosoi, that by drinking, you're going to lose the taste of the matzah. It's affecting and it's cancelling, it's annulling, it's nullifying the taste of the matzah. Just like you're allowed to eat something after the afikomen, because the afikomen is to be the final taste that you have in your mouth. So just like you're not allowed to eat after the afikomen, similarly you're not allowed to drink something, because that's going to affect and that's going to nullify the taste of the matzah, which is meant to be final. ולפי טעם זה, according to this reason again, כל משקה, אפילו אין לחמה מדינה, ואין המשקה אוסו, according to this, anything will be also. So not just חמה מדינה, but any drink is also, because any drink, by definition, he's taking away the final taste of the matzah. According to the words of the Mechaber, the Ramah, mashma, it appears, shedaitom lahachme, their opinion is to be stringent, kechol an atayma, that it would appear that we are stringent for all reasons. So, the one reason was, because it's going to get you shikha, that's for sure out. Similarly, you don't drink, the second reason was, because it's commercial ala koisos, you're not going to add to the four cups, and that actually includes also Chama Medina. And thirdly, any taste would be taking away from the Afikoman, and that's wrong as well. And therefore, anything is excluded. You can't drink anything after the fourth cup. Mikol Mokum, nevertheless, Kosva Choinim, the Choinim, right? The Ingva Vasa. Now, I don't know what Ingva Vasa is, but I do know the Mishnebul quotes it in a few, speaks about this Ingva Vasa in a few times. Vuadin Te, and similarly Te, so it must be something which is quite similar to the tea. The conventional tea that we know must be something similar. Oh, yeah, apple trunk. Now, apple trunk is probably something similar to an apple juice, but not our common apple juices. V'yeshikosu gam lakritz, and that's a big chiddush because lakritz is quite a strong taste. Mutter. So he says that teas and ingvavasa and some sort of apple juice is permitted. Because that doesn't take away the taste of the matzah, and it's considered like water. Just like water is permitted, similarly also, those drinks, including tea, which is very similar to water because it has only a very mild taste. I don't know what your thoughts is on this. Let me just finish off the Mishnah, and then we're going to discuss that in 1 minute. And it says, "V'ina af lechatchil noch lehachmi b'kol dovar shemvatel tam matzah." Although hadilim must be stringent on everything which takes away the taste of the matzah. Mikol mokum, nevertheless, but mokum tzorich godel yeshlismoich al tzvor rishoina. He says, under extreme circumstances, one can be lenient and rely on the first reasoning, which allowed everything excluding wine. Certainly on the second night there's room for leniency. Okay, so all in all, we've seen now a few reasons why one is not allowed to drink after the four cups. Water is the least controversial, because according to all reasons, water is permitted, because water doesn't make you drunk, doesn't look like you're adding to the four cups, and it doesn't take away the taste of the matzah as well, I suppose. So water is fine, even according to the most stringent opinions. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, and I don't know, I think it's quite a chiddush, the Mishnah Berurah speaks about tea, and the Mishnah Berurah's understanding of tea is that tea is fine according to all opinions too. So I understand that it doesn't get you drunk. I also understand it doesn't... Well, even Chama Medina, I'm struggling to understand, because tea is considered a Chama Medina. So according to that, really should be a problem. I don't understand what the Mishnah Berurah is making with tea. And also according to the third reason, which was the reason of taking away the taste, I do believe that a tasty tea, a nice good tea, surely it doesn't have such a mild taste. It has a very nice, but I wouldn't call it a mild taste. It's not like water. Obviously we drink tea for a reason, because it's obviously giving us good taste. And I don't quite understand why the Mishnah Berurah is makel, but the Mishnah Berurah is makel with regards to tea as well. I wonder, maybe the teas of the earlier generations was maybe not as, maybe it doesn't have such a strong taste like our teas have. I don't know. I didn't see this in the postgame. I saw postgame are makel with tea as well. I'm just actually struggling to understand this color a little bit. I also want to add that coffee is discussed in the postgame, and I'm really struggling with that as well. What would you say would be the halacha with coffee? You want to have a black coffee what would you say about that?
Don't we treat tea and coffee in halacha as being basically a flavored water, which is why we're allowed to have it before davening, for example?
Yeah. So can we go through the reasons? So you're saying it's not mashaka, it doesn't get you drunk. Pchama medina, what would you say about that? Would you give somebody important, would you give him, if he's visiting you and you want to give him a bit of honor, would you give him a cup of coffee?
Isn't there a stira between being allowed to drink it before davening and chama medina?
No, because you're allowed to have a chama medina before davening. There's no issa in having chama medina. Here, there's an issa of having chama medina. I'm really finding this mishnah there. Lemaisi, you're right. Because the poskim do say, the contemporary poskim, not the mishnah, the contemporary poskim, they say just like tea is permitted, and they're saying what you're saying. If tea is permitted, then coffee is also going to be mutter. And the poskim, therefore, are makil and lenient, and they allow lechatchila to drink coffees after the seder. Yeah, so that's the mice to what the poskim say. What's that? So what you're saying, so let's say a coke is something, what would be considered a tzorech gadol? You're saying, what would be considered a god nowadays? Or are you asking, what is he allowing? How do we define tzorech gadol? So I think that nowadays, it's going to be hard to find a tzorech gadol because we've got alternative drinks. We've mentioned a few times that the abundance of drinks that we have nowadays, that's something which didn't exist previously. So often people would only have a bit of water and the other drink was wine or another limited amount of drinks. So a tzorech gadol could potentially be that somebody has got no water left. He's got no water left. Is he meant to be thirsty now and go to bed thirsty, or can he have an alternative drink, which is another lechatchiladika status? So that's probably what the Mishnah is referring to. Right. Okay. There is for us therefore no heter, and I've never actually seen anybody being matir what the Rama recommends and suggests and allows to have a fifth cup. This is something which is extremely uncommon and rare, and I don't know if this is really done at all. For us, if we are really thirsty after the fourth cup, we're going to have a cup of water, and if you're on a bit more lenient, you can have the Mishnah Berurah as tea or coffee, and if it's really Tzorech Gadol, as Barry's suggesting, if it's a Tzorech Gadol Mamash, if there is such a case, then one could be further makil as well. I do want to say that the juices that we have nowadays, I don't know if that's right to have to drink them. I really don't know if it's right to drink those juices, the more expensive juices, because surely there would be ostra cause on a second reason, because it's considered a genuine chama medina, and just like a coke or any other fancy drinks, there are chama medina, and according to the second reason, that should be also. Right, see base is as follows. Chayev Adam on top of page tzaddik. Chayev Adam lasoik. A person is obligated to busy himself b'ilchas haPesach with the halachas of Pesach, who v'itzias Mitzrayim, and with the redemption of from Mitzrayim, with a supper, and to tell and to relay the nisim, the niflois, the miracles from when we're out of Mitzrayim, Shosa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos Shalom is done for us, Lava Senu to our forefathers, ad until Shtechtefenu Sheino, until a person actually falls asleep. Now, here is a couple of things which must be stressed and emphasized. Firstly, it is one of those, it remains a mystery, it remains an absolute mystery, why this halacha, which is a mefurish toisefta, without anybody arguing with it, that chayev adam lasoik beilchas haPesach, this is an undisputed halacha, it's toisefta, Shulchan Aruch. Nobody argues with that. You don't hear many people doing it. Most people after Seder, some even have, still they go strong with Shir HaShirim. Most people don't. And you don't hear many people that actually spend more time on Leila Seder after completing the Seder they actually keep going strong until the morning hours. It is very rare. On the other hand, on Shavuos night, which is a very late custom, very late, and it seems to be, it's hard to find Mekoyach before the Shluach HaKadosh, 200, 300 years, and even within those 300 years, I don't know how accepted it was, hard to find proper Ma'ar Mekoyach on that, solid Ma'ar Mekoyach on that, and yet, everybody stays up Shavuos night. Everybody does. And if you don't stay up Shavuos night, you are probably not, how should you say this? Politically correct. Benji, how should you say this?
That's because people can see you when you stay up on Shavuos night.
Because people can see you. Right, okay, so that might be the answer. But it remains a mystery that in halachic, looking at this very halachically, looking at this very not emotionally, but if we do look at this very correctly in halachic terms, this on Leil Pesach, it's an absolute obligation to stay up and learn the halachas, and on Leil Shavuos, it's a very late custom, and somehow the balance seems to be completely out of balance. It remains a mystery. Benji's got an explanation that it has to do with that. It could be, but it's a bit. I also want to add the following. You know, what do we say on Maaseh? Well, what's the Maaseh with the Tanoim that we say? What's the lesson that they were doing Bnei Bak to Osku Kolos Alayla in Bnei Bak to Osek on Achigu Tamidem in the morning? So we generally learn that, and it's wrong. Well, we normally interpret it, and we say, "Oh, look, they were great people. They were absolutely great people. They stayed up the whole night, and they learned. Wow, that's absolutely amazing." Until the morning hours, where the Talmidim slept them out of there and said, "Look, it's time to daven shachris." Now, even assuming this was Seder night, which is not posh that it was, it probably wasn't. But let's go with that. That it was later said, let me say that's not pshat, because everybody's got an obligation. The chiddush was that even them who were the outstanding Torah giants of the generation, even them who were the greatest gdolim, and they knew everything that had to be said, they knew everything. Nevertheless, they, without any chiddushim, they still stayed up and said the nisim and the flores of Yitzias Yitzayim. Somebody who doesn't know it all, it goes without saying. But for them who are so great, for them there's an element of the Chiddush that they stayed up and said it. But without, if you're not the greatest person of the generation, it's postured. You've got stomach you. So that is pshat in that member. But Lemaisa, and Kavachoyma, Mneshul Kavachoyma, us who don't know everything, but this Tesefta remains really a mystery why people don't stay up. So I saw this year a bit of a limud chos. Why most of us go to sleep after Chag Gadya, and we don't stay up. I mean, I don't know, Chas V'Shalom, maybe you do, yeah? And if you do, then by all means, continue learning the halachas. But if you're one of those that goes to sleep after the last page of the Haggadah, so I saw today a Limud Chos. What's the word what's the words of the Shulchan Aruch? Chayav Adam Lasek Bilchas HaPesach V'Yitzias Mitzrayim L'Sapa Nisim Riflois. Until when? Ad Tzedek Tefenu Shena. What does that mean, Ad Tzedek Tefenu Shena?
Until you get
very tired. Absolutely. So without any cynical explanations, the reality is, after we complete the Haggadah, we normally are quite tired. Whether you have four full cups of wine, or whether you have yain kal, or whether you have just grape juice and the sugar was, whatever, you're probably going to be tired by the time you get to Chag Gadya, and you're probably... All right. Okay. Let's just finish off. Let's just 1 second. So therefore, so it could be that the halacha that we finish by achlech to finish shenah, because that really means that you're allowed to go to sleep and finish, because that level of tiredness allows you to complete and to finish, and you're not obligated anymore to be oisek bilchas apesach at that stage. Right. Okay. Very good. We'll continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, wish you a good evening. And look after yourselves.